bring greetings to you in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Brother Durbin, for those devotional thoughts. It is a good foundation to the message that Lord laid on my heart for this evening. It's good to see all of you back again. Trust that God will have a blessing for you for being here and worshiping in his house tonight. We have been, the last night, it's the first night, I believe, that we've opened it up for testimony time to share something that God has laid on your heart, something you're thankful for. Maybe it's a prayer request or just a testimony of your walk with the Lord. We'll give you that time now for a few minutes. Thank you for sharing last night. I was blessed by that. Who will be first? Thank you. Who'd be next? Yes, thank you. What a great gift. It's, for most of us, it's just been handed to us. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Never know what could come out of that Bible that was left lying there. Thank you. I do apologize that I did not know all your names. And I'm sorry about that. I'm one that feels it's very important to address someone by their name, but I don't know all your names. Anyone else? Thank you for that. Let's remember to pray for each other, not just throughout this week, but on a regular basis. Lift each other up to the throne of grace. What outlook for the chorister to lead us in our theme song, number 686 in the Hymns of the Church. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 4 to read verses 6 to 10. I'd like to look at a message this evening on the sin of pride. The sin of pride. This afternoon, as I was studying, I jotted down this passage here. We won't spend a lot of time here, but we might refer to it a time or two as we move through the message. James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The year was 1912. A huge ship sailed from Southampton, England, then to Cherbourg, France, and Queenston, Ireland. It sped west toward New York on April 10, 1912. One of the crew members is reported to have told Miss Sylvia Caldwell, passenger of the ship, that God himself could not sink this ship. 4 days later, a ship in the area sends out a message. We are stopped and surrounded by ice. But the captain of the ship and his first officer did not heed these warnings. On April 15, the ship that was said to be unsinkable sank. An iceberg had ripped a gash in 6 of the compartments in the side of the ship. Then we know that ship to be the Titanic. And the ship sank. God resisteth the proud. That simply means that God opposes the proud. What is pride? Or what does this word proud mean? God resisteth the proud. It means to be appearing above others, conspicuous or haughty. To want to be noticed for selfish pleasure. Want to be noticed for selfish pleasure. Pardon me, I wanted to read to you what we say in our virtues. And maybe, no, here it is. In our decrees for to keep, in the section of virtues, just thought I would read what we have written under humility. So we think of pride, talk about the sin of pride. I want to read to you what we have written about humility. Insomuch as the Bible condemns pride in such strong language, referring to its disastrous results to nations, peoples, and individuals, and holds forth the blessings of humility, the church seeks by the grace of God to be free from denominational pride and personal or ministerial emulation and rivalry. Rather, we desire to express humility in church life, in the building and equipping of our meeting houses and homes, in our possessions, in our dress, and in our relationships one to another. Some verses given here. Relationships one to another, material prosperity, educational advancement, and success in various endeavors may cause one to be lifted up in pride. May we labor and pray that we will not lose the blessing of the Lord because of a sense of self-sufficiency and social importance. Humility will also express itself in pursuing kingdom usefulness instead of self-interest. Now, our decree booklet isn't the Bible, but we base it upon the Bible, and that is what we have written in our virtues section. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18 tells us this, that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 11 verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 17 and verse 9, he loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. Proverbs 29:23, a man's heart shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So we believe that it is right and proper to have a healthy satisfaction with a job well done, don't we? We believe that it's right and proper to have a proper self-esteem. Almost sounds contradictory, but we believe that is right and proper to you do a job or you buy something and it's nice and you're complimented for a job well done. We believe that that's right and proper. I had to ask myself the question, where's the line where satisfaction turns to pride? Where's the line where I become a proud person? And the what the word is, the hard thing or the word fails me right now, but you know, if I am proud, I probably don't really realize it. Or maybe I do. But if you're a proud person, do you really know you're proud? Because probably if someone tells you about it, you're going to have a hard time accepting it unless you repent. Sometimes children like to exaggerate the truth. Oh, I remember that way when I was a child. Little boy, things were big, real big. When does it begin that mature adults no longer struggle with proud, boastful thoughts and actions? In our country that we find ourselves, and I'd like to tell you, but self-expression and self-gratification and entitlement and that whole list are running rapid, and it's all around. To push someone else down so I can get up on the ladder higher is, who cares? It's about me. You know how a two-year-old is? What is mine, and what's yours is mine, and it's just all mine. Now, there could be some other things involved there as well, but pride. Just some quotes. Pride is your greatest enemy. Humility is your greatest friend. Pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind. It is pride which has been the chief cause of misery in every nation and every family since the world began. Quote of C.S. Lewis. What does God think of pride? What does God think of pride? Well, number one, pride is sin. Proverbs 21:4, an high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Think with me the meaning of a high look. A high look means has the idea or the meaning of an elated fountain as the eye of the landscape. So what does that mean? Well, that means that if I am doing things and living my life in a lifestyle that I am the eye of the landscape on purpose for you to see me. I'm the eye of the landscape. I am a fountain shining forth and look at me. Look at what I have, what I bought, look at me, what I wear. I want to be noticed for self-gratification or whatever. That is this eye of a landscape. Perhaps you saw Old Faithful already, and you went, and that was the eye of the landscape, to watch Old Faithful blow his steam. Proud heart is meaning a heart of breath, one that is swollen in selfish idolatry. Pride centers around me and my accomplishments and leaves God out of the picture. And pride separates from God. Pride is sin. So the question I ask myself, is there anything that I am doing, wearing, or possessing with the intent to bring attention to myself? Number two, what is God's attitude towards pride? Pride is an abomination to God. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. The proud in heart will face judgment for their actions, no matter how powerful they may appear. Pride is an abomination to God. What is God's attitude towards pride? God hates pride. Listen as I read Proverbs 6:16-19. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Among those seven is a proud look, which is haughty eyes. Haughty eyes. Pride is the opposite of brokenness and humility. Pride is subtle in its entrance into the heart. I believe one of the things that can germinate or seed, be a germination seed for pride, I believe it can be fear sometimes. Fear of men, fear of missing out. Daily devotion to God and His Word provides the illumination that we need to detect even the slightest indication of trouble. The devil knows if he tempts man and succeeds in man reserving the glory and worship that is intended for God to gratify himself, he has a hold, and he has won a victory. So we could ask the question, what in your life are you leaning to, or am I leaning on, to provide fulfillment? And we get up in the morning and it's going to be a good day. What is it that gives you fulfillment? A fulfilling life, an abundant life. What do you lean on for that abundant life? So think with me just for a moment. Some Bible characters. Nebuchadnezzar thought it was his kingdom that gave him fulfillment. Pride in accomplishments. He says in Daniel 4, verse 30, the king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" It was the kingdom. Maybe it's my kingdom, your kingdom, that gives me fulfillment. Ahithophel, we don't talk about him real often, but in 2 Samuel 17, verse 23, listen to this. "And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his father." He couldn't handle it that someone did not follow his counsel. Maybe you place it on your wisdom, how smart you are. You know what's happening. Just ask me. I got it covered. I got your fix. Aside from God and his word. Or maybe you are talking God's word, but you got the counsel. Pride in what I know, smarter than others. Haman placed it on a person. Esther 3:5, "And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath." He was angry. Maybe it's pride in my position. Maybe you're general manager. Maybe you own the multi-million dollar business. Maybe you are simply, it doesn't have to be big things to be proud of it. You can actually be proud of how unproud you are, I believe. The scribes placed it on preeminence, love of prestige and recognition. Mark 12:38, "And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts." A Christian's fulfillment, we must find it solidly in Jesus Christ and his work. And as we talked about the last two evenings, is the foundational points of dealing with pride and possessing humility, where our fulfillment and our identity must be rooted in the work of Jesus, the work of Jesus Christ for us. Galatians 2, verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ," Paul says. "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." It's my fulfillment. It doesn't mean that we do not care about other things. And that we do not. It doesn't mean that we live a sloppy life. I believe the Bible teaches us on that as well. Another quote, "They that know God will be humble. They that know themselves cannot be proud. Think about that. They that know God will be humble. They that know themselves cannot be proud. Now that hits you a little. But just think about it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, Paul says, by the grace of God, he is who he is. Recognizing that it is by the grace of God that he is who he is. Now, I want to give to you a few earmarks or maybe symptoms that we can test ourselves by and do a heart level check. And maybe we're best if we asked someone close to us who knows us real well and who will be honest with us. Okay, we don't want to be dishonest, but somebody will tell you how it is. We all need those people. Some tests for us. So harboring pride in my heart, it results in contentious relationships. Proverbs 13, verse 10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So I don't know what to do about that when both sides are exactly right. And there's contention. Or are both sides exactly right? Only by pride cometh contention. Well, the Bible also teaches us on submission, doesn't it? When I seem to have interpersonal relationship trouble with one relationship after another, I may be a proud person. Number two, pride hardens the mind and it affects sound judgments. Daniel 5, verse 20, but when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, Nebuchadnezzar, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. So the hardening process of pride comes as a result of our inflated view of ourself. And the ultimate goal of Satan is to tangle in front of man this false assumption that my thoughts and ambitions are superior. Pride is spiritual cancer. Another quote, pride is spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibilities of love or contentment or even common sense. It's like a spiritual cancer in us. If I am a proud person, I may find myself being involved in persecuting the poor. Proverbs or Psalm 10, verse 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Which brings me to the next point, and that is that pride stands in the way of seeking God. Psalm 10 and verse 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Pride is at the root of so many, many sins. A proud heart. And until the Holy Spirit gets a hold of the person, and they understand their sinfulness, then there can be a change. The proud person is a wicked person. He is too conceited in his own thoughts to bend the knee in submission to his heavenly Father. Now, some questions for you. Proverbs 4, verse 26 tells us to ponder the path of our feet, and then let all thy ways be established. So some questions for you to ponder: the path that your feet are walking, that trajectory that you're on. I have 10 of them. Do I have a critical spirit? Do I have a critical spirit? When I'm complimented for a job well done, how do I respond? How do I respond? When I make a mistake, do I try and justify my actions? Or am I humble enough? I can say that I'm sorry and mean it. Do I get angry with others? Maybe without a cause. I get really stirred up and angry. Am I an impatient person? How's my prayer life? You know, proud person. Yeah, just think about it. How is my prayer life? Can I say I'm sorry? I talked about that. Can I forgive? Am I quick to forgive? Or do I hold grudges and resentment and bitterness towards others? Am I willing to sacrifice, to give? And the last one, is everyone else wrong? Is everyone else wrong? Now you think about it, a level-headed person is most always the person who thinks like you. It's a level-headed person. We need people who do not think like us around us to help to balance us. Well, today the shoreline of life is lined with lives that have been destroyed by the sin of pride. Crumbled relationships. Pride. We know the story of the account of Lucifer in Isaiah 14, 13 to 11. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also among the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Just as before destruction is pride, before honor is humility. 1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Recently, I came across this connection here. Verse 6 is talking about humbling yourselves. Verse 7 is talking about casting your care upon him. I wonder if there's a connection of being humble and being able to cast our care. I wonder if there's a connection of being humble and being able to trust to God the things that are beyond us to bear. I wonder. I wonder if I am proud, it affects my emotional status. I wonder. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Some takeaways. If I'm a proud person, I will experience God's resistance, and that's a bad place to be. The remedy for pride is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Repent and be converted, that our sins may be blotted out. Contrast the difference between God resisting you, the God of heaven, the sovereign one, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of us. Contrast the difference between Almighty God resisting you or giving you grace. Vast difference. Tonight, let us humble ourselves. Let us take a look at where we are in the landscape of life. And are we out there as the fountain, see me, look at me? Or are we just humbly serving the Lord where he has called us to the best of our ability, serving others in an humble attitude? You know, an humble person is just really enjoyable to be around. And you know, a proud person that's so full of themselves, they hardly have capacity to care about you or to care about someone else. I'd like to give an invitation again tonight for anyone who may feel the Lord calling them to become a Christian, to make things right, to need encouragement. I'd like to give an invitation again tonight to make that need known. And someone will counsel with you after the service. What shall we sing?
734.
Hymns of the Church?
Yes.
734. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, and yes, Jesus is calling even today. Let us sing.
Watching.
We'll close invitation for this evening. As we were singing, I remembered as a youth hearing an evangelist tell a story, maybe at the end of invitation, about a story that he had heard of an older man that had attended a revival service, and they gave the invitation, and after the invitation he met, I believe, it's been a while since I, pulling back from my memory, but he met the pastor afterwards, and he told him, he said, yeah, he said, I remember, he said, years ago I would sit through revival services, and he said, I had to hold on to the bench to keep sitting. He said, you know, tonight it just didn't bother me. And that wasn't because that he had given his heart to the Lord. It's because that he was hardened to the point, well, what did happen? I'm not saying that to scare anyone. Just saying that to say that the Spirit is prompting you. Come to Jesus. Thank you again for your kind attention. Lord willing, tomorrow evening, plan to bring a message on my responsibility to the church. You can pray for me as I continue to prepare that message. Thank you for your reverent, soft singing when we give the invitation. There's something about a mellowed time, the Spirit of God to work in our midst. Come again tomorrow evening. Look forward to seeing you. Continue to pray. Bring others with you as you can. Let us stand for dismissal. And Brother Durbin, would you lead us in prayer?